Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Paul Eric Lace.
And I guess you trying to wait for the intro. Here's the intro.
Expect the unexpected. Seeing before you know it, this covenant's not in vain. Once the promises start showing, so put your faith in motion. Praising before you get it. Encouragement's on your radio, so come and listen in. It's Covenant Cafe. Come get some praise in your system with Lamont Ferguson. Poetic laces in the building for the moms and pops and children. Ushers, pastors, musicians. Listen and pay attention. Expect a change and a difference. I'm too focused to let any doubt get in my way. Ultimate faith in God, I believe whatever he says. So glorify his name, he's more than worthy to be praised. I'm loving this covenant, Covenant Cafe.
Welcome to the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
And our co-host, Charlie Baltimore, she's out for right now. She's out handling business. You know how we do. But however, before we get started in our our show, definitely got to have a word of the day. And of course, we're going to miss our Charlie, the first lady of the Covenant Cafe. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Add spice to this. To the mix. What's the word for today?
All right, so our word for today, it comes from John 4. And I kind of want to dance around a little bit because it's so much. I would love to do the whole chapter, but I want to primarily focus on Jesus' encounter with the woman at the well, or better yet, the woman at the well, her encounter with Jesus. So more so just to give you a quick background of what's going on, Jesus is sitting at the well after a long journey and he is tired. And this woman comes to him and at the well, she's getting ready to fetch water. And the woman is a Samaritan. She comes to him, and Jesus says, "Gives me a drink." In her surprise, she's saying, "You know, you being a Jew, what are you doing asking me?" Because Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans at the time. So, like, what are you doing asking me for water? So this is where I want to pinpoint in at. So we're going to start with verse 10. The woman has already made her statement about you, Jews. Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. So at verse 10, Jesus answers and says to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is, who it is that you speak to, give me a drink, you would ask him, and he would have given you living water." So that's when the woman says something else, and this is where I really, really want to catch, because this is a lot of verses. Matter of fact, I'll just read it straight out so we can really get a gist of it. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew it, the gift of God, and who it is that you say to you, give me a drink, you would ask him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? Are you greater than our fathers who gave us this well and drank of it himself, as well as the sons of his livestock?" And Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become him a fountain of water, stirring up everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband, come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you are with now is not your husband, is that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped here at this mountain, and our Jews in the Jerusalem, in the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, this is where I want to bring y'all at, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship neither at this mountain nor in Jerusalem, to worship the Father. Your worship that you do, you worship what you do not know. we know what we worship for salvation of the Jews, but the hour is coming now that when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. All right, so I know I kind of hopped around a little bit. It was a little jumble as we started, but the thing I really want everyone to catch on is that it's a very strong possibility that you can worship something that you do not worship, that you do not know. You can go to church. You can know, read scriptures. You can do all that stuff and still not know God. Mm. Just like you can listen to our show. You can read our bios, listen to the music, follow the website, social media and everything, and still not know me. Very possibly not know me at all. Never had a conversation with me, anything to that nature. So it's that same thing. It really comes down to a self-evaluation. And what was so real is that we know Jesus being the Son of God and him being at one accord with God, making him the manifestation, the human manifestation of God, since this to be true. She just had an encounter with the God that she so-called worships. Yet she did not recognize him. So how many times is it that we have an encounter with Jesus and we don't know him to be Jesus, even though we claim that we rep him? So it's an eye-opening experience, and it's a journey that we all must go on. We must self-evaluate ourselves. Are we worshiping? Are we doing the things that we think is of God, but it has nothing to do with building our relationship with God? It's really a question that you must ask yourself, because she's talking about worshiping God at the mountain and the Jews worship God at Jerusalem. So which one is true? When Jesus is saying, yo, the time has come where you must worship God in spirit and truth. You must have an intimate relationship with him to truly know him. It's not the facility that makes you know him. It's not the area that makes you know him, but it's your heart, it's your character. It's that spirit, it's that truth, it's the actual being, it's the actual intimacy. Are you really talking to God, or are you just going through the motions? Are you really praying? Are you really fasting? Or are you just saying it because it sounds good and it looks good and it's just quote-unquote regulations, stipulations, things you must do, rules, laws? Or is it something that you're truly doing out of the love of the Father, and this is something you're building a communion and relationship with Father? So once again, I close out just by saying that the word here shows that we clearly can go through the acts and not know the Father. So my question is, do you know the Father? Or are you just saying it, or are you just doing it? Regardless of the case may be, at the end of time, this is the answer to a question that you must know now, that you will be best to know now before you die and you see him face to face. And he tells you he never knew you. My whole experience in these past weeks is just more so has been an awakening that how real God is, and the time comes. The time is it each day when we're born, the countdown begins. Mm-hmm. Instead of it going like, oh, I'm going to live to 100, it's more so your clock is now ticking once you're born. Mm-hmm. And when your time is up, did you accomplish everything that you were set here to do? And I'm not talking about your goals, but I'm talking about the things that God has purposed for you in life. And also, and it's really just knowing him and glorifying him, him shining through you, because we're just reflecting his light. Are you doing that, or are you just going through the motions?
Mm-hmm. And see, and it's interesting that you said it's about presenting yourself, because on another level, I work with kids, troubled youth, you know, they act at risk. Now, we have kids that present well, you think they have it all together, and they don't. Mm-hmm. And then you have the kids that don't present well, but they have it all together.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So it's sort of the same thing within the church, because you have some people that present well, but they don't have it all together. And you have some people that you look like, oh, man, they having a hard time, when they actually are together spiritually.
Right.
You know, just looking on to that, and it's all about that. A lot of people will have that mask. Just like today, actually, our pastor was saying, you know, we all are sinners. We all are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying, you know, clap your hands if you know you are a sinner. And I guess some people wasn't clapping their hands. He said, "Why? This is amazing to me, because there are people that's not clapping. So I guess you're all together then, when you know, when you're really not." you know, because we all are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not saying, tell me what is your sin, what is your issue. He just said merely, everybody clap if you are sinners.
Right.
You know, and I understand some of those things are very private to people, but that's not what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just a blanket statement that, hey, if you know that you're a sinner, clap your hands. And so, therefore, everybody should have really been clapping.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
It's tough, not in anyone's defense, but I guess it's more so it's tough for people to understand that we have not arrived. Because people do fall into that. Man, I go to church every Sunday, and I'm living right, and I'm being absent, and I don't smoke, and I don't drink, and I don't da-da-da-da. And you kind of fall into that mindset that you have no, you're not offending God. And so when you hear the word sinner, you're thinking of a backslider or somebody that you see in the streets drunk or something, instead of somebody who, well, you told a lie yesterday, or where you thought nasty thoughts towards someone, or you were late to church, and you were supposed to be on time at church, so you offended God because you didn't see his time worthy, but you were on time to your job interview. So why is the job interview more important? So, you know, people don't see it to that degree, as far as that we still need Jesus in all aspects of our lives. So we still do have our moments of sin, or our moments of iniquity, or our moments of unpleasing sight in the sight of the Lord. So people are not seeing that. So it's...
God, we celebrate you.
Yes.
We bless you. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We give you glory. We give you praise. Now let me tell my story. Hallelujah. I have a story.
Yes, sir.
Something to say.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
About Jesus.
About you.
Sure enough came my way. I was so broken hearted. I was needing a friend. One day Jesus, he came within. He's my Savior. Master.
Master.
He's a teacher.
I got a call.
I got a call. I'm praying.
and adore and adore you. Oh, 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 oh.
Amen. That was Andre Parris, My Story. Had a little slight disruption, but hey, the thing is flowing. So what we were talking about is people, some people understand that they are sinners. Some people don't understand that they're sinners. Am I correct?
Right. And it's like, it's a controversial area. But not that controversial. But it's controversial because, you know, you have scripture saying, you know, once you confess Christ, you know, being a new creature. So we move from the sinning stage, the sinner stage, to being one that sins occasionally because all fall short of the glory of God. And then you have some saying we're still filthy rats because without the grace of God, and this is all in the scripture, without Jesus, you know, our righteousness is his. So we're only doing righteous acts. When we do righteous stuff, it's because of God's grace, his glory, his mercy, his power in us, the Holy Spirit, which is the he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. So, like I said, it's a tough thing because who wants to say I'm a sinner? But at the same time, it is a form of humility. So, like I said, I wasn't taken up for the congregation or anything, but it was more from a point of being from misunderstanding, like, because you think, when you think sinner, you think backsliding, liar, smoker, drinker, blah, 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 and not considering yourself as one who has not arrived to the point of perfection, a spotless, blemishless church that Christ is coming back to get.
Okay. You heard it here. Now, hey, check this out. We have a special guest that's supposed to be dropping by. And we'll let you know when that person dropped by. You know what I mean? Number two, Lace, you have been on a roll with the plays, man. What's going on with that?
Oh, man, yo. God is moving, and I'm trying to keep up. Now, on the real, I'm in a new play, and it's called He's the Best I've Ever Seen.
Mm.
And this play, this takes me into a whole new dimension, man. It's straight up about, it's really biblical acts, but it's not the typical, the same old church play that we see dealing with, you know, the Bible leading to his death and then resurrection. It's not like that at all. And it actually has an interesting twist at the end. It's still, nothing is contrary to the Bible, you know, but it's along the lines of the story of Jesus. But it leads you to an interesting scene that changes things up, that actually makes you think about who is Jesus in your life. Like, it's really still a dope play, but it's on point. It's on point with the word, and the character that I've been casted to be is Jesus himself. So I'm totally honored, totally humbled, super excited, because it's literally challenging my life. My lifestyle is challenging me, how I think, how I see, how I love people, even though how do I see Jesus to be in my life? So now it's like a whole new level of, like, living this thing out for real, for real. Because to be Jesus, if anybody doesn't know, when you're in acting and you have to be a certain character, you're not yourself anymore, because you may be a character who's a drug dealer and you may have been a nerd in school. Or vice versa, you may have been a drug dealer that's changed his life, and your character is a nerd. So now you really have to study this character. You have to be this character. Mm-hmm. And as you're becoming this character on and off the stage, you're starting to see things about you that's contrary to this character and things about you that's similar to this character. Mm-hmm. So you literally got to step outside of yourself. You can't be shy. You got to go all the way in. So as playing Jesus, I'm seeing how short I fall of his glory. Because he was, like, perfect, dog. Like, you know what I mean? Turn the other cheek. I can't tell you that's something. You slap me in the face, I'm my reflex is to punch you in the face.
Yeah.
Quick. You know what I'm saying? That's reflexes. But Jesus, playing Jesus, turn the other cheek if somebody hits you. And then tell them you love them. Can you imagine that? You get hit in the face and you're like, you know, I love you. Don't do that again. But I love you. Or if somebody offends you, you know, you tell them. You don't wait on them to apologize to you. You let them know this, well, you know, by you saying this, this is how it made me feel. Did you mean it that way? Because I don't want no strife between us. I love you like a brother. I love you as my sister. Like if we, and just thinking about it that way, if we can walk life out like that on a day-to-day basis, like crime will be so low, if not non-existent. Like you stepped on my shoes. Like I was thinking about this the other day. It blew my mind. You know, when I was younger, this dude, one of the first dudes I see get beat to a pulp on someone like bloody face, so we can't even recognize him. One of the first guys I ever seen get beat up like that was because somebody stepped on his shoes. And I was like, wow, like, I'm thinking, so now in my mind, you know, somebody stepped on my shoes, I have to be willing to fight. And I'm a kid. Or if I step on somebody's shoes, I got to be ready to defend myself, even though I accidentally tripped or I stepped on it, or it wasn't me that stepped on it, but I just so happened to be in the vicinity. I got to be ready to fight. It's a misconception. It's really, really bad, but that's something that we deal with growing up. Well, anyways, I was thinking about it like, yo, if someone stepped on my shoes and we really got to the nitty-gritty of it, like, yo, I'm mad that you stepped on my shoes because I finally was able to get some good shoes and you stepped on my only good pair and I cherish this pair and that hurts my feelings. If I was able to articulate it to you in that manner, would you raise up and would you not want to wipe my shoes or would you not want to apologize? Mm. But instead, you step on my shoes and I fight you. Like, why? And I'm learning that there's so many issues inside and a lot of young brothers, a lot of young sisters, or even older, because there's still people that's like 60 years old that's gangbanging. It's mm. a lot of issues that nobody's really checking. Like, I'm mad at you. I'm mad that you stepped in my shoes because my daddy never gave me anything. My mom was unable to buy me anything. So now that I'm able to buy something, I appreciate every single thing that I get. And the very fact that you did that, it disturbs me and it struck a root in my childhood, mm-hmm. something that I didn't have. And you're acting like my dad by not appreciating the things that I so desire to have. Mm. Like, it's like that deep inside, and we're not facing it. We're not talking about it. We're not dealing with it. So, you know, like I said, playing this character, being Jesus, really, man, being my God, actually acting out my God's life to really do that. Now it's just showing me, it's taking soul therapy, because I told you guys before, the root of the single itself, it's taking it deeper into my life as far as like, wow, you know, this really bothers me, and I don't know how to articulate my feelings to you, so I act out. This is what's going on in our communities. And community, like I said, a community is not just a black place and a white place and then a Mexican place, et cetera, et cetera. More so communities is like I'm a musician. So that's my community. There's a community of musicians. And then also I'm a radio host. There's a community of radio hosts. And then there's a community of actors. There's a community of customer service reps. There's a community. So I'm a human being. So there's a community of human beings. Mm-hmm. In one particular area. That's when I say community, that's what I'm talking about. Every community, it doesn't matter the skin tone, there's a problem there. And we're not dealing with it, we're not facing it, we're not helping one another out. Because we're prideful, and we don't want to take time out to love one another. So I know I just went on a little spew all about my character and the play. But it's just some of the things that I'm realizing is I'm seeing a lot clearer. And love is the remedy. Love is truly the remedy, because God said he is love. And that's something that we're just neglecting. Instead of me ready to fight or argue or curse you out, why not love on you? Or why not find out, well, you know, why do you feel this way? Or why am I not me saying that I love you? That means I have the capacity to share with you how I feel in a cool manner. I have the capacity to say, you know what, you offended me by putting me on the spot. You know what I'm saying? Like, why can't I do that? Why can't I do that? Why I got to just, why does it get to the point that I ignore your phone calls? So, hope I answered your questions.
I mean, that's a tough role to handle. I mean, because it's Jesus.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, that's a very difficult role, and I commend you on taking on that role, that spirit. You know what I mean? Because
yes,
it's got to be tough. And when does the show go up?
It's so soon. It's gonna we haven't locked the date in officially, but we're knowing it's gonna be at the end of May. So
okay.
that's like really soon, you know what I mean, compared to like, you know, the time of me being, us being casted and rehearsals and stuff. So it's a grind. It's a grind, as you know.
Absolutely. There's some big things as far as the play that I'm doing. Finding Chris, my father. Big shout out to Vincent Ellis White. Actually, this is what the project is about. And he actually has been on a media frenzy. He's been on two news stations in the area of Richmond, and he's going to be on a third the day before the show. So pretty much some big things that are coming out of there. And some big things happening with the other show that we're putting up in June. So same thing, just, you know, and the name of that play is called To Death Do Us Part. So we got two big projects. Months apart, so just trying to do this. So you know, you can finally eat off of what you desire to do. You know, and I think that's a big difference. You know, I really like working with the kids in the alternative setting, but at times it's challenging. It's a different challenge on a day to day basis. It's a burnout situation. So I think you know, when you get in those types of environments, although you're helping them and you're mentoring, there's different capacities that's less stressful when you're able to mentor them one on one instead of a group at a time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because if I have you one on one and you will actually tell me, like, okay, what's actually going on, as opposed to if it's in a classroom setting, you're not going to say nothing because you don't want anyone to look down upon you.
Right.
You know, so that's what's going on this end. So, you know, we're holding it down. So with God's grace, because like I said, there's some big things holding on. And actually, this might be our guest. Hold on, let's go to our line here. Caller, you're on the air with the Covenant Cafe. Caller, are you there? Yes, I see you there. I see your number. Caller, are you on the air? Okay. A lot of times.
Yeah. I didn't know I was supposed to be on like that, bro. This is my first time. This song.
Oh, okay.
Come on.
Is this Deacon Brown?
I'm just calling in, and this ain't Deacon. This is Pedro. I'm calling in. I seen Poetic Lace put the thing on the Facebook, so I decided to, you know, give it a try.
Okay, we appreciate you calling in, my brother.
Appreciate the love.
Hey, Poetic Lace.
Yes, sir.
It's Pedro, man. How you doing, brother?
Man, I'm doing good, man. It's good to hear from you, man. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. Just with the kids right now, you know.
That's what's up. You still working hard on the music and everything?
Yes, sir. Hey, praise God, though, man. I'm looking up to you, man. I'm really happy for you, bro. You know,
oh, glory to God,
people,
man. I appreciate it.
Keep on moving the kingdom, brother.
Appreciate it, man. I thank you, bro. Keep me in prayer.
Absolutely. All right, thanks for calling in.
All right, now.
Yeah, so you can still listen. I don't know, sometimes those prompts get kind of confusing. I understand that.
Just call and don't push that one button, and you'll be good to go.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, y'all. Yeah, I have a
question. No,
you good. You good.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Awesome. I know you're there.
Yeah. Yeah, that one button, it gets people every time. It has to.
It's kind of tricky.
Yeah, I guess. I'm just glad. No offense to anybody that's ever called in and pushed that one button. It is all good. It is all good. We appreciate y'all.
We definitely appreciate y'all. So what we're going to do, we're going to get into a song. And then what we're going to do is come back with the weird news of the day. So what we're going to do, you know how I like to tie everything into the song. So when we talk about that one button in life, you know, that one button is a gets mixed up in life. We always push that one button that mess up that a particular situation when you're going through your day. You know, you may be doing something. So we all hit that one button. And like Crystal Atkins' song, it says, even me, Lamont Thurston, always push that button. So here it is, Crystal, here on the Covenant Cafe, Even Me. We'll be right back.
And I ran away.
Awesome, awesome. That's wonderful. So now you know what time it is. Everybody know what time it is. It's time for that weird news. Are y'all ready for the weird news?
Yeah.
Okay, wait, hold on. We got a caller on the line. Hold on.
Hello?
Caller, you are on the air with the Covenant Cafe.
Oh, no, nah, there was Deacon Brown. He told me, I've been trying to get through. I was saying I had an interview today or something.
So you're Deacon Brown, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, you are on the Covenant Cafe. You dialed the right number.
Oh, okay.
What's up, Deacon Brown?
He said, I've been trying to get through. I like that. I like the fact that you say you've been trying to get through, because that implies a lot of people are calling in and the lines are busy.
Uh-huh. I see that. I couldn't get through.
We definitely appreciate you calling in. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and Poetic Lace will be doing the interview.
Okay.
So before we do that, we definitely get over for Deacon Brown.
Deacon Brown, what's good?
Man, I'm so glad to be on here. I thank y'all. I thank God for giving me this opportunity.
Hey, man, we thank God that you are on here, man. It's always a pleasure. It's always a privilege when a man of God or a woman of God, shouts out to all y'all too, that comes on the air, and just the fact that you've been fighting to proclaim the gospel for the kingdom. So, man, we praise God for you, bro.
Amen.
All right, so we're going to get started on this interview, and I like to do what we call a blind interview. And a blind interview pretty much is that we're going to act as if I never looked at your bio. We don't know about your music. We don't know nothing about you. We're going to do like a fresh start, and we're going to build up, and we're going to fall in love with you at the end. Is that cool with you?
Yeah, cool with me.
All right, so for starters, who is Deacon Brown? Like, are you like a deacon for like a church or something, or is that your real name, Deacon? Or what's up, man? Tell us, who is Deacon Brown?
a lot of people ask me the same thing, and I could tell you how I got that name. See, like when I joined the church, and I began to be a deacon in training, and mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, and I began to do gospel rap, and they were like, man, you sound like one of those old deacons, and I was laughing, and I was like, yeah, and they were like, man, we thank God for you, man, because you're putting the word of God in your music, and you sound like one of those rough old deacons. So we're going to call you Deacon Brown from here on out. And then I was like, okay, that's a good stage name for me. So and I stuck with it. And even though I was a junior deacon in training, and they gave me that name as a stage name, I just kept it.
That's good stuff. Good stuff. So you said, so obviously you wasn't in music ministry your whole entire life. So there came a point in time that you joined a church and you turned your life over to God. Can you tell us what your testimony as far as what brought you to the church and, you know, you submitting and entering into the artistry?
Well, you know, a lot of folks like have a church background and saying, well, I used to be in church or I was brought up in church. I was kind of like, brought up in church, but it's like I was brought up in church. I was made to go to church, but I wasn't in church. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
I was made to go to church. My mama and them say, you don't go to church, you're going to get a whooping. Or you got to go give God some time. So it was like I was forced to go. But when I got there, I really wasn't paying attention to what really was going on. I seen the people praising God, jumping and shouting. But then when I began to get out there and do my own thing in the streets, selling drugs, doing what I was doing, and end up going to jail a couple times here and there before, God really started getting my attention. And then one day I was sitting in the jail cell, and I was like, well, God, I guess now you got me. I'm here in a situation, and I know that money can't get me out, friends can't get me out, nobody can't get me out, but God, hey, I put it in your hands, so now you really got to show yourself to me to have a personal relationship with me. And all of a sudden God began to move in my life, and then when I got out, I told God when I was in, I said, God, Well, I'm a stick to my word because I like to be a man of my word. So I said, God, I'm going to stick to my word. So I got out. I began to go to churches and try to give God some time because I said that was what I was going to do. And then, man, I just wasn't feeling right back out there in the streets no more. And I'm like, man, God, I'm missing something. I'm missing something. So I ended up going to church. And then I ended up, like, 6 months later, I gave God my life. And all of a sudden, man, he just started turning things around. And I began to do music for myself, like, just to keep me motivated in God, to keep me, because, like, you know, so I had to replace the world of music with the stuff that I was doing, so to keep me focused in God. So I had to feed my spirit off the stuff that I was writing, the stuff I was going through. So, and then all of a sudden, I was like, man, instead of me just doing it for me, encouraging myself, I can let other people listen to it to encourage them also, because they might be going through some situation that I'm going through. So that's how I began to minister through music.
Good stuff. Good stuff. And where are you from?
I'm from Apopka, Florida. That's like 10 minutes, 15 minutes from Orlando.
Okay, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. Can you give us example of some of the things that you do through your ministry outside of just, you know, rap? I mean, we are, you know, rap, but you being a man of God, we know that your lifestyle is the ministry. So can you just give us an example of some of the things that you do and you encounter and who you help on a day-to-day basis?
Okay, so well, in the church setting, while at my church, I'm a prophet. I'm in the office of a prophet, so. You know what I'm saying? I help the apostle in the ministry or the prophetic ministry. And we go out through the prophesied and we'll allow God to have his way in our life. And then even on the outside, we begin to have street ministry. So we have a street service. We feed the hungry. We're doing a lot of stuff out there for the young folks, those that are lost. We're calling them in. We're calling them in. Sure. Even through, that's why I thank God for the music, because a lot of folks can relate to what I'm saying and through the rap. So we use that on the street ministry as we begin to lay hands and cast out demons. We declare the word of God over people's lives while we doing that. So I do a lot of stuff, even with the young kids that don't have someone to look up to. They come and talk to me, and you know, so I tutor them in the word of God.
Good stuff. Man, I'm ready to hear the music, bro. What you saying, man?
Okay, now Deacon Brown, what we have the song is "Why Would I." Can you give us a little background on that song before we go into it?
Okay, now "Why Would I" was a conversation that I was having with the devil, because you know sometimes on the journey, the grass look a little green on the other side, but then when we stay focused. The stuff that God say that he going to give us, he gonna give us in due time. So that was a conversation that I was having with the devil, saying, man, God done brought me from a mighty long way, so why would I turn back to you? Why would I begin to walk with you and do those things that you had me doing out there? That stuff was evil. I was hurting people instead of helping them. So now I'm blessing people through the things that God had given me, and I ain't got to hurt for it. I ain't got to worry about nothing now, so why would I walk with you?
Good stuff.
All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to get into the song. We're going to come back to you after the song, okay?
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, Deacon Brown here on the Covenant Cafe. The title of the song is "Why Would I."
Be safe. I done traded in my card. I ain't got no time for you no more. So you go ahead and get out my ear with all that talking. Man, me and you, we through. I ain't even walking with you no more.
Why would I walk with you? Why would I talk with you? I can't believe all the evil things you make me do. It ain't no hesitation, I'm finished conversation. I needed all my mind, cause I was going through. And I was there with you, I talk about all the time. So you can stop your lying, I mean you're wasting time. Why would I walk with you? Why would I talk to you? I can't believe all the evil things you made me do. Ever since I can remember it been all bad. You had me doing things I ain't really wanna do, but I had to. Cause I would listen to you, didn't really know that I was playing the fool. Cause I was thinking it was cool to be rude, to hang out with all the types of dudes. So I'm cut up in class, showing everybody that I'm all glad. And I'm the man on the block, you had me feeling like I'm a touchable. And I can't be stopped, you were shooting pictures all in my mind. I think the world was mine, I couldn't see you alive. Cause I was blind, but now I
blame myself. I should have paid more attention in Sunday school. And I should have took notes instead of playing with you in the pew. Now these are cards that I'm dealt. You told me a lot that I could make it in the world all by myself. Now these are cards that I'm dealt. You told me a lot that I could make it in the world all by myself. Now these are cards that I'm dealt. You told me a lot that I could make it in the world all by myself. By myself. Why would I walk with you? Why would I talk to you? I can't believe all the evil things you make me do. It ain't no hesitation. I'm in the conversation. I nearly lost my mind. Cause I was going through. And I was there with you. I saw my only time. So you can stop your line. I mean you're wasting time. Why would I walk with you? Why would I talk to you? I can't believe all the evil things you made me do. You blame a lot of things on me when it wasn't me. Whoa. It was all him. He got all power. But you were trying to kill him. Well, I was trying to heal him. Because I seen his horn. He was church hurt. And you let it happen. What type of card you will? Now I can get the glory. I threw it rapping from the pain and the tears. But I'ma get fame down here. And folks gon' know his name down here. You gon' hate Jesus Cain down here. Now hold up, D. Get him out your ear. All the stuff that he's talking, none of it here. Now hold up. I don't mean no disrespect. Cause money ain't the same to me. That be the old me. I'm blind and couldn't see. And now I know my destiny. I can't let him hinder me. You just keep on blessing me and let the light shine. The devil goes, so I'ma let the devil know. Satan, I rebuke you. You can get behind me. I got to go crazy to go back to you. And do all the things that I don't wanna do. I got my mind back. I got my shine back. Amazing grace. How sweet that sound. The way I was living, I was bound. Feeling inside, I was down, I was down. Why would I walk with you? Why would I talk to you? I can't believe all the evil things you make me do. It ain't no hesitation. I'm in the conversation. I need it on my mind. Cause I was going through. And I was there with you. I saw my only time. So you can stop your line. I mean you're wasting time. Why would I walk with you? Why would I talk to you? I can't believe all the evil things you made me do.
Now, everybody have their own way of writing. Now, what is the way you write your music? Do you write it in the middle of the night, during the day? Do you say, I'm going to dedicate 3 hours to write a song? How do you do your, how is your writing process?
Well, I do my stuff at the spur of the moment. It's like I could be riding down the road and someone dropping my spear. I pull over on the side of the road, pull out my phone and mess the little record button on my phone and just record what I say, what I hear in my mind. And then when I get home, I write it in my phone on the pad and begin to listen to a beat and say, oh, it could go with this or it could go with that.
Mhm. Awesome.
That's how I do
good
it.
Good stuff. The way how your music sounds, man, you come straight from the gut. You know, this is what it is. This is what I'm going through. This is how I feel. This is what the Lord is showing me. I mean, it's real authentic and real. So with that being said, what do you have to say to any of our listeners? What is a word that you can give them as far as encouragement or even chastisement or just love? What is something that you just the Lord has put on you to give to our listeners?
Well, right now, what's been on point my heart is that we gotta stand up for Jesus Christ. You know what I'm saying? We gotta mm-hmm. stand up. We gotta put up a standard again for the gospel of Christ, because a lot of things we begin to compromise in the Word of God.
Come on now.
And God ain't tell us to compromise. It is what it is. What God say it is. Hey, that's how we got to do it. And so that, and I, yes, I like that in my words. So I try to stay focused because the enemy come and try to choke the Word up out of us. Because he don't mm-hmm. want the Word of God being preached. He don't want the Word of God being in the music. Why? Because he going to tear down his kingdom. And what I would say to the listeners is stay focused. Whatever word God has given you, stand on it through your trial and tribulation.
Good stuff. Yeah, so we are definitely in your corner. We're backing you. We want to support you. how can we follow you, support you, buy your music? You know, give us all the outlets, all the links, everywhere that we can find you, because, you know, we want to be in your corner, man. You're doing a great work.
Amen. Okay, you can find me on YouTube, Deacon Brown. They just released my video for that song they just heard, Why Would I, on YouTube. You could download the album. The album will be released on iTunes, on Amazon, on CD Baby, Monday. They could go get the whole album. It's called Communion. And you can download a free bonus track called By the Fire on Reverb Nation at getyourpraiseon.com. Reverb Nation. You could download a new track that I did for a bonus to a free download. And you can follow me on Twitter at UncleT.com. On Twitter, Uncle T. So yeah, you can follow me on there.
Are you on Facebook as well?
Oh yeah. I'm sorry about that. And you can follow me on.
Are you good?
You can friend request me or whatever on Facebook. Is Taking Over My City, Brown.
Oh, good stuff. Now, do you have any events coming up that we should be aware about? Anybody in the Florida area? I'm also in Florida. Anybody in the Poco near Orlando area?
Okay. Yes,
or
I
even
have. I have two shows coming up right now. I have one Friday at Club Fire in Aloma over there in Castleberry, and I have a show on Arm Blossom Trail at I forgot the name of the place that I'll be at, but if you look on Reverb Nation, you'll have all the updates and the shows that I'll be going through this week.
Wow, that's
awesome,
great. That, you know what? No, don't apologize about not knowing, because that means you're busy.
Yeah, for real.
You know what I'm saying? If you're like, hey, where am I going to be this week? That means you're a busy guy. It's okay.
That is what's up. Man, before I turn you over to Lamont, man, I definitely just want to, you know, encourage you. First, I want to thank God for your life. Thank God for what you're doing. You know, all glory to him. And it is it's an awesome work that he's doing through you, man. And I just want to encourage you, keep pressing forward, man. Your testimony, your past, your life, you know, it's really reflecting light to people. One thing that I constantly see dealing with Paul, what Paul spoke, is that I know I've learned to be content. I've learned how to be a base. I've learned how to do work while starving, while not starving, while having everything, while not having everything. I know I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the very fact that your testimony is reflecting people is showing them that, yeah, I used to do drugs, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, so I can get off of these drugs, or I can stop selling. Or I can go to prison, but through the Christ, I can get out of prison and become a strong civilian in the kingdom of God.
Mm.
I can really
Amen.
Use because of Christ Jesus. And this is what your life is reflecting. So I just want to encourage you that you keep pressing forward. You may not look like this artist, or you may not do it like this artist, but you are very unique. And you are doing a great work because you're helping the communities. You're touching those people that's filthy, quote-unquote filthy, or that nobody wants to deal with, or people are scared to go with. But you, because of you knowing what God has done through you, you know that you can do all things through Christ. So you are bold enough to go into these communities and come out without a bullet hole, to go into these places and cast a demon out without a demon whooping on you, talking about, we know Paul, but we don't know you. You know what I'm saying? So
Amen.
I just encourage you to keep being bold, you know what I'm saying? Keep being bold in the word. Keep being bold at church. Keep being bold in your worship and your praise. And continue to just keep showing that love, man, because that's something that we're lacking in our communities. And not just black, but also white, gray, blue, yellow, orange, all skin tones. We're lacking love in our communities, and God is love. So by you being bold in the faith like this, you're bringing that love. You're bringing God. He belongs in all of our communities. He belongs in all of our countries. He belongs in this world. And you know, we know we're in warfare, but we thank God for you, bro, because you're fighting it. You're fighting the good fight.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. I thank God. I thank God for blessing y'all to give me this opportunity, because it's like when I first started, man, I tried so many things. I tried to get on stations. I tried to do this and that, and it seemed like nobody really ain't want to hear what I had to say because they felt like I was talking too harsh. They were saying like I was coming too deep in the word of God, and they didn't want to hear. They wanted to, they wanted to compromise. They wanted to hear something that was,
mm-hmm.
was just given. Just say, well, we got to preach more grace. We got to preach more grace and stay away from that, from that type of word of God right now. So we just, it was like, well, we just send you down the road and hope somebody else will give you a chance. And I thank God that, that
yeah.
God opened this door and bless y'all to be here at this time in this season to help me get to the gospel to where it need to be. And I thank God for y'all. I just want to encourage you also that you're doing a great work. No matter, it might not feel like people are listening or tuning in. Somebody might not even call in and say, brother, you keep doing what you're doing. God bless you. God gonna make a way. God gonna make a way. But I'm here to tell you, man, you be encouraged. You do whatever
yes,
God
sir.
Tell you to do, you do it and stand firm on it.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. And it's funny that you say that, too, as far as, you know, people tell you, man, preach more grace or teach more grace or rap more grace or do it like this. This is the thing that I'm really learning hard body with Christian hip-hop, and then, you know, gospel music, and then you have contemporary and praise and worship and rhythm and praise. I mean, you have all this stuff. But the one thing is, or Christian rap, however you want to title it, the whole thing with rapping, we're rapping the gospel. One thing I'm seeing is that gospel rappers, into a sense, we go head on with the sin. You know, we're calling the sin out. We're in warfare with the sin. This is what it is. Y'all got to come out of it. It's straight up. This is what's needed. Because then in the other areas of gospel, it's more of just inspiration, which is nothing wrong with it. I'm not calling, knocking it. But there's, you know, it's more inspiration or more grace or more whatever, whatever. But I'm just seeing that it's important for all Christian rappers or Christian hip-hop or gospel rappers or whatever title wants to be claimed for that particular artist. It is important to be encouraged, because if you remove the substance of a Christian rapper, if you remove that out of the game, we have nobody going head-on to the sin. We have nobody that's
Amen.
Saying, hey, it's not cool to sleep around. We don't have nobody saying it. We just have a whole bunch of inspiration. So that's why
Amen.
Whenever I get an opportunity to speak with a fellow gospel rapper, Christian hip-hop artist, whatever the case may be for this particular artist, it's just important just to be encouraged and keep fighting. Because, yeah, people are going to tell you to water down and speak more grace, because that's what's hot. You got on one end everybody being nasty, which is even more in the secular arena, being nasty or just saying the lust of the heart, which everybody wants to hear. And then when they see that the lust of the heart is not getting them to where they want to be at, they turn to inspiration to pick them back up. So it's a cycle that's getting broken up by when you plug in the Christian hip-hop artist, whatever, to come on the scene and say, yo, the reason why you're not satisfied with what you're doing because it's wrong. So come through me first before you go inspiration. Come this way and learn how, oh, yeah, no, you got to stop doing that. Now that you stop doing that, we're going to continue to worship God, because God is faithful. His grace and mercy is sufficient to pick us up from that mess. But we can't, after he pick us up, we can't go back to that mess, period.
Amen.
So just that's why, you know, you're going to encounter that a lot in this industry. But your whole thing is God is truth. He's faithful. And everything he told you is going to come to pass. So if he told you, you know, you're going to continue to change lives and neighborhoods, what's that, and your music is going to touch people, just know it's already being said and done, because people are hearing it. You know, whether they're hearing mm-hmm. it at the shows or if they hear it at a particular station or online radio, whatever the case may be, God's work is going to be done. And there's nothing that you have to do outside of your specific instructions that's going to make it come to pass.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So, we got it in. I'm going to turn you over to Lamont. That's all the questions, man. But like I said, I thank God for you. So, Lamont, you know, have that or whatever you got.
I mean, you that's pretty good. I mean, pretty much all I'm going to say, keep up the good work. And we definitely appreciate you calling in and taking time out of your schedule to call in and spread your word and give your testimony, I should say. So, thanks again for calling in.
Thank y'all. Thank y'all. And I thank God for y'all. I thank God for y'all. Keep on doing what God has called y'all to do.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
So looking forward to hearing from you again soon, okay?
Okay.
All right. You have a good night.
You too.
Awesome. Good stuff.
So y'all heard it firsthand, Deacon Brown's album. It is coming out this Monday, so y'all definitely, you know, y'all be ready for it. My thing is that, you know, I'm now just growing more and more. You already know off the top, I never seen it. There's no such thing to me as competition in gospel as far as, yeah, don't buy my album and don't buy his. Or, I mean, he a rapper, I'm a rapper, I'm not going to support him. Y'all know that's never been my, I'm in my personality, right? Personality, I'm dealing with all these artists. So there's no way in the world that could be my MO. But now it's so much stronger in me to encourage artists, other Christian rappers. It's so much stronger in me because if you remove it, like, it's so clear to me, dog. Why, like, yeah, I even heard Andy Mineo say it. He said it really well. He said, you know, we fall into this strong loop to where we're not gospel enough to get played on the inspiration gospels. But mm-hmm. with our message is so pure that you don't want to play us on hip-hop stations. So we kind of okay. fall in that middle ground, like, okay, what do we do? And the thing is, you it puts you in a mindset of this as far as, all right, should I stop doing what I'm doing?
Absolutely
or
not.
Should I keep going?
Mm-hmm.
And if you and a lot of artists do go to that area that, oh, I'm going to stop doing what I'm doing. Now, mind you, even in Christian hip-hop, you got trash artists, you got mediocre artists, you got good artists, you got dope artists, you got mainstream, you got underground. I mean, you have those different categories in every field. So it's not that I want to I'm going to say, well, yeah, I'm supporting you even though you're trash or whatever. It's not that I'm seeing it that way. I'm seeing it when you hear me saying artists, I'm talking to them. It's more so, bro, you persevere in God. If this is what God called you to be, it doesn't matter on what the opinions are. You're needed in the kingdom, period.
Sure.
You may not do it how I do it, and I may not do it how you do it, but you're needed. And because you're needed, you keep fighting. You keep fighting. And I'm not saying God is like, oh, man, if you quit, I don't know what to do, because God will raise somebody up. But what I am saying is that it's an honor that God spoke to you saying, hey, I want you to do this. This is what you are called to do in this season or rest of your life, whatever the case may be. So I even encourage y'all, if you know Christian rappers, yo, encourage them. Tell them, man, keep pressing forward because they're doing something that everybody doesn't want to do. This is not a financial balaganza. You know what I'm saying? It ain't like, oh, I became a Christian rapper, now I'm a millionaire. It literally takes your life to do this. And it's hard days, it's good days, it's bad days, it's all that. You're still living. But it's harder, just to put it out there, it's harder for a Christian rapper than it is for a secular rapper, more so because the lifestyle is challenged. So if I'm talking to you about, yeah, don't have sex, and it makes you do it right, and you move to the net, da, da, da. If I say all that stuff, and then you find out that I'm having sex, but the scrutiny is on. You know, it's a microscope that you placed under off. It doesn't even matter what level you're at. So it's a challenging thing. So that's why you literally hear me say, I thank God that you're on the show. And even not just the rappers, even all gospel artists, because we all are challenged. All gospel writers, all gospel whatever. Everybody that's a Christian and they're doing this and they're not compromising who they are in Christ, and they're not pulling away from the word. You know, you're truly living for God, and you want your work to glorify God. And I'm not saying that you're perfect, but what I am saying is for everyone that's in it, you know, encourage them, because this is a tough work to really live this thing out and to display it according to the gospel. You know what I'm saying? So to me, it's an honor. It's an honor just to talk with anyone that is in the field, period. Like, oh, I'm a Christian. You're a Christian? I'm a Christian, too. You love Jesus? You follow him?
Mm-hmm.
Bet. Mm-hmm. Bet. You keep fighting, bro. You keep fighting, sis. You know what I mean? That's the whole gist of it, of my, when I go into the encouragement realm, whatever the Lord shows me to speak at that time.
Absolutely. And what we're going to do is get into a musical break. And coming out of that, then we'll do the weird news. But yeah, and the thing is, when you're doing stuff, positive stuff, you definitely can't give up. You gotta go through it. I mean, because you know how easy it is to give up, and it's very hard to work through something. Just say like, let's take, if you got a mild headache, it's easy. Like, man, I got a headache, and I'm not gonna do nothing today. As opposed to, I got a headache, but I have this to do, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's easy to give up. But so basically what we're saying is don't give up, press through. So what we're going to do is get into a song by Mary Mary. And it's what is it called? Can't Give Up Now.
Can't Give Up.
here on the Covenant Cafe. We'll be back.
Oh,
Wow.
That song is still so dope, yo. It's
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, like, because you think about your situation, and you may think, like, man, I'm in a tough situation right now. But just think, like, back in the day, you were in a different situation that you thought was tough. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
I think we all go through a phase where we think, well, this is rough. But you, there's always someone, unfortunately, that's going through more than what you are going through.
Yes.
You know, you might struggle, you might be struggling financially, and that might just be your biggest struggle. You know
yeah.
what I mean? At the moment. But there's right. someone else that's dealing with something worse than that. So you definitely got to give God the praise for bringing you thus far.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what we're going to do, we like to do the weird news. And so let's drop the bomb on them. I got some interesting things to tell you guys. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
The man slept with two DUIs in one night at same McDonald's, at the same McDonald's.
What?
So you want to read that again?
Go ahead.
It says, man slept with two DUIs in one night at the same McDonald's.
That don't even sound legal. Right. I'm going to wait until I hear the story because I'm already about to fuss like that. I gave him a ticket or whatever the case may be. And then you give him another one?
Mm-hmm.
Continue.
Now, at first, if you don't succeed, try again. It's apparently that the unfortunate model of a New York man who got two DUIs in one night at the same McDonald's parking lot. Early Sunday morning, Zachary, which is 31, allegedly drove his car into the back of a vehicle ahead of him in the McDonald's drive-thru in New York. He was charged with DWI, okay? After troopers say his blood was alcohol contact was 0.25%, more than three times the legal limit of 0.8. Now, police say he was released to a sober third party who took him home. After 4 hours later, he was allegedly back at the same McDonald's and hit the building with the car before fleeing the scene. Yeah. Yes, this is true. Authorities located his newly damaged car outside of his home, arrested him on another DWI charge. He was taken to the local hospital where he was treated for his injuries he sustained in the collision. He was then arraigned and released to a sober third party. It is unknown whether this sober third party was the same one who took him home after the first charge. Yes. Now, he was also arrested for DWI in November and had a reported blood alcohol level of 11%, well, 0.11%. Yes, getting several DUIs in one evening is unusual but not unheard of. Now, check this mm-hmm. out. In September 2011, police in Pennsylvania charged Robert Rodnick, 58, while was driving drunk twice in the same night. The second time was about 15 minutes after they released him into the custody of a friend. Now, last June, Stephanie Miranda, 18, and Vanessa Miranda, 24, were both charged with driving under the influence of alcohol in the Florida Keys after deputies noticed their Volkswagen swerving, increasing and decreasing speeds, and braking suddenly over a seven-mile stretch. Both sisters were charged with because Stephanie was behind the wheel when a deputy attempted to pull the car over. Instead of pulling to the side, she allegedly stopped in the middle of the road and switched seats with Vanessa in plain view of the officers and his dash cam. Now, now in December, Carmen, which is 34, was arrested for allegedly driving while intoxicated in New Jersey. However, she had to call three different friends to pick her up from the police station because the first two showed up under the influence.
Mm.
Those two also were arrested. Now, let's drop these bombs on these fools. Now, how you show up to the police station to pick up somebody?
Mm-hmm.
And you drunk too?
Come on, man.
You know what? I'm gonna lay this first on my lap. Man. There you go. You get another one for that.
I'm trying to figure out. All right, let me stick with the first guy first. I'm trying to figure out how the heck he still has his license. Like, what? Okay, because it wasn't the first time that he got a DUI prior to that. So,
yeah.
What in the world? Like, how? How? Any answers? No?
he apparently slipped through the cracks. I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
And then, like, with this other situation where these the people were switching the car seats in the middle of the road in plain view.
Literally, when you said that, it reminded me. So I was like, I was about 18 years old at the time, and I was home from school or before I left for school. I think it was before I left for school. So
yeah.
I'm with one of my homeboys, and he was driving and he was speeding, and the police got behind him, and they cut their lights on. They cut the lights on. I'm in the passenger seat. And he was like, "Ladies, bro, please switch with me, bro. I'm going to have a warrant. And you know, I can't get in. I'm going to take my, I don't have my license. My license suspended." They're saying this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he speeds up a little bit, but he starts to pull over. And I'm literally, dog, my heart is beating because I'm literally like, I don't want to do it. But I kind of feel obligated a little bit at the time.
Uh-huh.
So he pulls over, but the police go around him. The police was, I guess they got a phone call, and they was going around him. So I was thinking, God, like, yes, thank you, Lord. I'm glad I didn't have to get no speeding ticket for something I didn't do, and da-da-da. I'm thinking to myself, but now that I'm older, as you were reading that, I'm like, hell no. Bro,
yeah.
This is your fault. There's no way in the world I'm finna take this charge for you.
No.
Like, it's crazy, yo, like you reading that, and I'm just thinking about how far gone we can be in our upbringing or just in our community or our
mm-hmm.
ethnic background or whatever you want to say for it as far as our it being urban. Like,
mm-hmm.
yo, take the charge from me, man. You know, take this drug charge from me because if I get this charge, I'm going to go to jail for life. But,
yeah.
And I literally, at a time when ultimatums were presented to me like that, like, well, if you don't take the charge from me, I'm going to jail for life. When these things were presented to me, I literally felt obligated at the time. But now, like, are you serious? You're going to ruin this perfect record for you? You are a habitual offender.
Yeah.
You deserve, bro. You deserve. Like, dog, I'm just so glad that my mind is just, like, God has freed me from some of these thinkings. Like, bro, you deserve that because you keep doing it. Like, if I'm not doing it, that means I've learned, I see from experience, from someone else's experience, that this is not a good way to go. Why don't you see that? You might as well go to jail for life because you asking for it.
And then, like, this person here, twice in one night, I mean, like, what is the problem?
Prayer, we got to pray. We got to pray. Like, we really need help. Like, you know, I'm playing this role, like Jesus, like we were talking about before. Beforehand, it would have been hilarious to me to a certain degree. Not hilarious, like I would be just dying laughing, but I would kind of chuckle a little bit about it, like, ha, man, that's stupid. The people are stupid. But now it's kind of like I'm understanding, like, everybody's struggling with something, and
mm-hmm.
I don't think people are having to sit down. Like,
mm-hmm.
we need to have an intervention.
Absolutely.
Well, we need to go talk to the pastor. You need counseling. Like, this is not being said at all. I'm talking about even outside of people being believers in the faith. It's just not being said. So it's crazy. What, you know, I really want to be like Deacon Brown right now. Like, man, that demon in him was strong. It told him to go back and mess up this McDonald's and get another ticket and possibly go to jail for a couple of years.
Now, let's take this next story out. Are y'all ready for this one?
Go ahead, man.
Don't drop the bomb on these. find 11 hidden cameras in a woman's Kansas City apartment.
Mm.
A woman told Kansas City police she thinks her landlord, who is also her boss, may be behind the 11 cameras that cops found in her home. The 25-year-old woman says she thinks the 47-year-old man, who has not been charged or named, has been spying on her since October 2013 when he remodeled her bathroom. The woman called police on Saturday after she found a hidden camera in one of her smoke detectors. Police found 10 other cameras, including 4 in her bedroom. No arrests have been made, and the victim told the Star that she has moved out of the apartment since.
Wow.
Now, with that, you know, after that, I think I'll be paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 11? I mean, like, you, let's not even count the 11 just yet. But just the one alone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's enough. That is enough. You know, and just to think there were 10 more, but just the one is enough to say what in the world, because you're thinking like all the things that you might have done in your house.
Yes, come on. Said, done.
You know what I'm saying? And you got somebody that's spying on you. And then it's really creepy that you got these other cameras that's in the. So he hasn't been charged, and I'm trying to figure out why he hasn't been charged yet. Okay.
I guess it's substantial as far as if he has a landlord, if they have a landlord, not a landlord, I mean a janitor or maintenance people, maybe a janitor and maintenance people, then you got pesticide people that come in. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's maybe not enough just to confirm him. But at the same time, you're right, why wouldn't he be under investigation or something? Maybe somebody else got to come forward. Maybe somebody else has to identify a camera, and then now we got a problem. Because at the same time, I guess, because if she's looking to sue for something major like that,
mm-hmm.
Okay, nobody else has said anything about them having cameras. Maybe you planted them in there. And if you planted them in there, you know, and I'm not saying that she did that, but I mean, I understand, like, just in being a business owner or whatever, like, everybody's looking to make that quick buck off of you. Like, you remember mm-hmm. the McDonald's? Now, this is not the same thing now, because I really feel for her. But you remember with the McDonald's situation, they had the coffee. The coffee was too high, and they mm-hmm. sued McDonald's for over $1 million over hot coffee. So it's like, dang, we can't even run a business without somebody wanting their hands in our pockets. So mm-hmm. just out of defending the business owners now, or the people in a position of, I guess, making the more financial gain on the end, we got to be a little more lenient before we destroy someone's reputation.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, in his defense. But at the same time, it's like, come on, like 11 cameras? She planted 11 cameras, put on a big acting scene and called the police, and, you know, this is it.
But,
then
I mean,
we just sweep it on the rug.
If that's the case, that's something wrong with her to plant that many cameras. Because in most cases, a person that's trying to falsely accuse someone usually just mm-hmm. plants one.
Right.
Oh, my God, there's a camera in my house.
Right.
But, I mean, 11?
Yeah.
I think that's a bit much.
That's a lot.
A lot. A lot. A lot. Now, for this last one. Are you ready for this one? Let's try this. I want to know what you're going to do with this. You told man accused of stealing at the 190-million-year-old dinosaur footprint. What you going to do with this? Now, that's what I want to know. First of all, before you even read the story, if you stole this, okay, and you tried to sell this footprint, don't you think someone's going to question that? Like, if it's on eBay, Facebook, Twitter, that you're trying to sell it, whatever, however you try mm-hmm. to sell this, don't you think somebody's going to question it? Like, how did you get it? You're not going to say, because I just found it in my backyard. Okay, let's get into it. A Utah man has been indicted on federal charges of stealing a fossilized dinosaur footprint from the Jurassic period. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Utah announced Wednesday that a grand jury returned the indictment against the 35-year-old Jared Elhers of Moab. He is facing up to 20 years in prison on the most serious of four counts.
Mm.
Authorities in southeast Utah say the three-toed ancient track was pried last month from the sandstone on the Hell's Revenge Trail in the Sand Flats Recreation Area near Moab. The messages at his house were not immediately returned. It is unknown if he has an attorney yet. Utah Bureau of Land Management District paleontologist Rebecca Hunt Foster says the dinosaur tracks are 190 million years old. And she says that they are one-of-a-kind tracks and they don't have a price.
Mm.
Now, how do you feel, how would you feel to be locked up 20 years and you up there with all these other criminals?
Mm-hmm.
You talking about you trying to steal the dinosaur footprint. Come on, man. Mm. I'm in here for selling drugs. I'm in here for embezzling money. What are you in here for? I stole the dinosaur footprint. Come on. That's not. I'm not saying people go to jail, but if you're going to be in jail, why don't you be in jail for embezzling millions and millions and millions of dollars? So whenever you get out of jail, you will still have something left. I mean, you stole a dinosaur footprint.
Well, you got to consider that perception is reality. Every man's perception is his reality. So if you perceive that a dinosaur's foot is worth more than $1 million, acting career or somebody just give you $1 million, you being able to do what you love to do full-time, all the time, just direct and act and write and just do it fluently with no interruptions and enjoy your wife while you're doing it and your kids. Or someone's like, I'll give you this or I give you $1 million. Mm. You're like, man, I love my wife. I love my kids. Da, da, da. So you say that, but then you got a single brother who's not married, has no kids. He's like, are you crazy? You better take that $1 million, man. You buy another wife. People, that's his perception. That's his reality. Just stupid, right? So, but to him, it's not stupid. And somebody else, they probably listening like, Lace, Lamont's stupid. He better take that $1 million. What you talking about? So perception is reality. So you got this guy here who's like, yo, this is I've been wanting a brontosaurus my whole life. I can't clone one. Jurassic Park lied to me because I tried that same thing with the frog eggs. It ain't working. But here's a footprint. Yo, I got to get my hands on this footprint. I'm going to put this thing right on the wall next to this dead eagle I found yesterday. It's going to be dope in my house. Mm. Boom. To him, that's the bet. And if I got, and I actually got a good plan to work it. No, I'm not commending it, not one bit. But what I understand is that we can only help a criminal to understand his mind. And I understand that this dinosaur footprint meant a whole lot to him.
a whole lot. But my thing is, you have to look at how you're going to make money off of this. You might have stole this. So you stole this just to keep it, or you stole it to try to make money. Which one is it?
I think he stole it to keep it. It's just like when I don't remember how old I was. I was really, really young, and I don't commend this, but I stole a piece of candy. I stole a piece of candy, and I was going to eat it. I was going to love it. Well, mama caught me and whipped me and threatened to make me go inside and return it, right? So I didn't plan on making no money. I planned on enjoying this piece of candy. Now, though I'm talking about something edible and what he stole wasn't, it's still – it's a certain likeness to it. Like, there are things that you know, we steal or we take or whatever, that's, we're not going to make money from it, but we enjoy it. mm-hmm. just looking at it. You know what I mean? Like, I know people that steal Playboys, and I knew people that might have stole a Playboy magazine, and their enjoyment from that was worth more than them getting no resale price.
Mm-hmm.
Just, hey, it's
wow.
crazy, but, you know, perception is reality. So, somebody's listening right now is like, man, he ain't crazy. If I could, I would stole the whole dinosaur.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? So it is what it is.
It is what it is. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with Deacon. So we're going to get into, you know, like I said, we all always have to tie in our songs, but what we're talking about, and we're talking about this guy who stole a dinosaur. You're trying to figure out dinosaur footprint, and he dealt with, now he's facing jail time. You say, Lamont, Lace, how y'all going to tie a song into that? Well, the song is called Confessions.
Usher?
Yeah, the name of the song is called Confessions by Lecrae. So Confessions deals with, you know, the guy saw him confessing. We always got to tie it in. Here at a Covenant Cafe, one of my favorite artists, beside Lace, of course, is Lecrae. Confessions here on the Covenant Cafe. You got to get this guy on the show.
I know some people with more money than we'll ever see. Ever see someone buy a private island they never see. Ever see every sea on your own personal yacht. Take a jog around your block that you bought from selling your stock. Not in this lifetime. Some of them my partners, they don't believe in karma, but they believe in commas. And they believe they dollars for a peace of mind. Put a price up on their head and they be fine with that fine. Cause you fine when you can buy the park you hate to ride. It was fun in the beginning, now it seems they not as thrilling. And you about to make a killing, but it never feels fulfilling. So they call me, tell me, pray this sound feeling. At my car and my crib, give me work, they ain't meaning, cause I know they never did. Them numbers in my bank account are no reason for living, and sleeping with bad women really doesn't keep me driven. I'm sure this man sitting beside me is beside himself, trying to find himself. Yeah, he flying first class, thinking everyone behind him is a peon. Going home to a model chick he probably gon' cheat on. He'll be empty for eons, you know what I be on. Money don't solve it all, man, look what happened to Dion. I bought my dream house, but it only made me wake up. It all falls down, even if you got the cake up. I found the pain, just nothing I can help. Flown private jets, rode in foreign cars, still so unimpressed. Cause after she spent all that money on her chest, she thought it'd make her life better, but she finds she's still depressed. Ain't nothing wrong with having it, matter of fact, go and get it. But if you find identity in it, then gon' forget it. You gained the whole world, but lost the only thing you own. Cause everything else is just a temporary loan.
Confessions of a Millionaire. That's what that guy thought when he saw that. When he saw that that dinosaur footprint, he actually thought
that he was going to be a millionaire. I mean, I'm going to slap this dude again. I mean, like, you going around stealing dinosaur footprints. Come on, man. We got to do better than that. And, ladies and gentlemen, we got Deacon coming in here. Yes, yes. Thank you. We would like to say welcome back, Lace, for being away and doing your work for Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
We missed you dearly, and I was able to see the real side of you. You were portraying a character that we all want to portray in our lives on a day-to-day basis. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
And basically what I'm getting at is I understand that you will be playing the role of a deacon such as myself. Amen?
No.
Who will you be portraying besides the deacon? I mean, I believe I've done many good works here for many churches for many years, because for God's sake, so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believed in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's definitely John 3:16. Amen. And all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make paths straight. That is Proverbs 3:26. And I'm here to let you know that in many ways that I will make paths straight here on the Covenant Cafe, especially when I come in, because for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, Ephesians 2:8. Amen. Because when it is by grace, when I come through that door, peel away the fans that I have, I love them dearly, because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Galatians 5:22. And I'd like to let you guys know what I say. This is the spirit of love, the spirit of joy, and the spirit of peace. I have love and joy when I look at those guys, and they holding up those cards with my name on it, and they give me joy, and it's a peace when I see those guys out there, and it brings on patience. When I come on to the show, and I'm patient with you and Lamont here on the Covenant Cafe, and pure kindness, because I don't want to go off when you guys cut me off, and the goodness and faithfulness. I am faithful to God, because I know who I am, and I am faithful to him. Amen. And do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve that God's will is his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And what I mean by this, ladies and gentlemen, is do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, because the pattern of this world can be evil in some cases. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed, because when God gives you his word, he gives you a fresh look on the world. Amen? And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. And because when you go out in this world, there will be trials and tribulations. That is your test. And his good, pleasing, and perfect will, make sure you do everything that's pleasing to God. And if you have to backtrack to think about what you're doing, then it may be wrong. Amen? So no further ado, I need to get into my useless facts, because a lot of people say they're useless, but I think these are facts that we need to know about. Amen?
Okay.
Did you know that 7-Eleven sells 10,000 pots of coffee an hour, every hour, and every day?
Wow.
In a year, the average person walks 4 miles to make his or her bed. Amen?
Okay.
So, but that doesn't count for those who don't make their bed when they get up in the morning. Amen? So it takes the same amount of time to age a cigar as wine. I don't know anything about that, but that is one of the facts.
Hmm.
Did you know that linen is actually stronger when wet?
Sounds all right. Hmm.
Did you know that 175-watt bulb gives more light than 325-watt bulbs? Did I say that? 325-watt bulbs.
Mm.
And it makes sense, because if it's 75
mm-hmm.
watts, then that means it gives off 325-watt bulbs. Would that make sense? And one more, and be careful. One more. One in three snake bite victims is drunk. One in five is tattooed.
Wow, one in five is tattooed and one in three is drunk.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
And what I'm going to leave you with, and I listened to you guys, and you guys talked about sinning and being sinners. So I have one for you, okay? And it's just, this right here is 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Romans 3:23 also says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to leave you on that note. And you guys have an absolute wonderful evening, and thank you for being. I want to know something, Lamont. Yes, Deacon. Do you have any fans? Amen. I don't think you have any. Look at my. And I'm going to leave on that note. You guys have a wonderful. Wow. Okay.
Well, he's not as bad as he was before I left. So I can deal with that.
I just didn't understand why he did. When he was talking about the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he was going to say, okay, I understand that you're playing the role of Jesus Christ, but he said the role of him.
Right.
I didn't get that at all.
I didn't either.
So, okay. But anyway, so we do have 15 minutes left in our program. So I would like to go ahead and get into the word of the day. Actually, before we get into that, we should have talked about this at the top of the hour, about the missing plane
mm-hmm.
situation. That all those families need to be prayed for. I mean, because this is like a big mystery of our time. For a plane this to disappear. So far they have stated that all the things were turned off in the plane, and it still flew 7 hours after that. So they have they still have some type of navigation, but not the accurate, I guess, as if everything was turned on, they couldn't pinpoint exactly where it's at. And as a matter of fact, right now, they still don't know where that plane is located. So we need to pray for those families, because you don't know if the plane was commandeered. You don't know if the plane was, you know, crashed.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Right.
You know, they landed somewhere and they're hostages. We do not know. I mean, if you think about, you might say that's far-fetched. Why? I mean, why would someone take all those people hostage? We don't know. We don't know what's going on.
Right.
And the thing is at this point, you would think a plane would not disappear. That sounds unrealistic. So at this point, to say that plane is somewhere else and people have been taken hostage, it's not far-fetched at this time either.
Right.
Wow. Yeah, and it's 228 people, I believe, or a little bit more than that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you think, like, where could this plane be? And the radius is so big. It's 7 hours, and you have, I think, okay, put it like this. I'm not a math wizard, but everybody can understand 360 degrees. You have a big circle. Okay.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
So within that big circle, 7 hours in either direction.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? It's not like a, you know, how far that is. Like, you don't know.
Yeah.
7 hours each way. If you look and stand, I mean, you could, simple terms, stand up, and then you point in each direction, and it's a little bit at a time, though. But 7 hours worth of that. In either direction, you don't know.
So yeah, you're saying that, to even simplify it, from Florida to Virginia, we're talking about a 12-hour drive.
To Virginia?
12. Yeah.
Yes.
Within a 12-hour drive.
Mm-hmm.
A plane ride, because I've actually took the drive there, and a plane ride is literally like an hour and 30 minutes, if that.
Yeah.
So. Look how much is traveled for a plane within a 7 hour radius compared to a drive. So if you're not driving, that's only 12. So ain't no telling how much land was taken up within an hour in either direction.
Wow, and it's amazing to me that this is going down right now. I mean, because of the way governments work, they can't tell you every single thing, because if they do, we'll be in a worldwide panic.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't tell us, even if the government knows, like, okay, man, we done messed up. They done took over our plane. How can we tell this to the American people? You know what I mean? We can't do that. I mean, you can, but you can't, because if you think about 9/11,
mm-hmm.
when those three locations were targeted,
mm-hmm.
I mean, 9/11, I mean, you know, the Twin Towers, the Pentagon, and then a plane that went down in the field, which they do not talk about often. They always talk about the Pentagon and the Twin Towers.
Right.
You know, the World Trade Center. So from my understanding, there were more than those targets. I understand that LAX was a target. The Renaissance Building in Detroit, Michigan was a target. But if you think about it, they would release all that at one time. It would have been the panic.
Correct.
So to bring you up to date, plane out of nowhere just disappeared. They don't have no plane wreckage. They don't have any they can't get in, you know, because there's no black box. They can't get to a black box to find out what's going on a plane. The conversation is, you know, there's nothing to say there was a problem with the plane, or to say, hey, there's a terrorist on the plane. Nothing.
Mm.
You know, so and then for their government down there to release information like days later is to me is I don't like to be a conspiracy theorist, but
mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of funny to me because if it was everything was on the up and up when it was released that the plane was missing, and you would think all the other information that came at the same time, but they released the information little at a time, which is, you know, it's saying something to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something,
yeah.
Yes, so something's going on, but definitely pray for those involved, the families, and, you know, there's children on the plane, there's, you know, parents, I mean, 228 people are gone missing. So,
right.
To say all that, you know, we'll go ahead and get into our word to live by. And what is that?
So our word to live by is around not looking back. I'm telling you guys to not look back. This comes from Genesis 19. Just to get to the point, I have to hop from different passages to passage, but I won't compromise or anything on the message. Basically what's happening here is that Sodom and Gomorrah, there were two angels that come there, and the appearance of men, of course, and they come to Sodom and Gomorrah, they come to Sodom, and as they're there, Lot encounters them, Lot sees them, he brings them to the house. As he brings them to the house, the men of the town, they see these angels, and they want to have sex with these men, but they're beautiful. So he wants to come and have sex with them, and Lot is begging them not to. That's really bad. All right, now, so that here we are at verse 16, which says, and while he lingered, the men laid a hope of hold. So basically the angels told him, before I get to that, the angels told him to leave. Leave this place. Don't look back.
Mm-hmm.
Go. Do not look back. Get out of here, for we're about to destroy this place. All right. So at verse 16, it says, and while he lingered, which is talking about Lot, the men laid hold of upon his hand and upon his hand of his wife and upon the hand of his daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass when they had abroad them from abroad that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither say thou, and all the plain escape them out, unless you be consumed. All right, so now this is where I want to hop to, just so you can get a hold of what I'm saying. Don't look back. Then the Lord, in verse 24, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone, fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he outthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Lot's wife. All right, so what I'm basically saying is that there comes a time that we have to really realize that the Lord has pulled us out of some messes. God has really saved us. He has delivered us. He has covered us. And there's been times that God is saying, get out of here. Don't stay here. We can hear the Holy Spirit greeting us, yet and still we linger and take our time to get out of it. But due to God's mercifulness, his grace, he will push us out. Whether it be like God says, leave the job, but you won't leave the job. And then next thing you know, you know, somebody gets sick and you get fired, and you're like, wow, the Lord had to push me out of here. And then you see that the company goes under investigation. And because you got fired, you're not under investigation. Boom. Mm-hmm. That's just a quick example. Now, this is the thing. When the Lord has saved you and delivered you from whatever it is that you were dealing with in life, you cannot look back. So say if you were a former alcoholic or you were a former party going, the Lord has delivered you from that. So there was this one party that you wanted to go to, but you didn't go to. And because you didn't go to, you didn't get shot up with the rest of the with the people that were invited that were there. You cannot look back on that lifestyle wanting to go back, because we see here that life, that Lot's wife looked back and became a pillar of salt. So we have to press forward in our walk as Christians. We have to press forward in our walk as new creatures. We cannot go back to our old ways. There is nothing for us but death, sin, pain, horror, because we look back. All those citizens who were still involved in Sodom and Gomorrah and all the mischief and the iniquity and the wrongs of that land, they were getting tormented by the flames, you know, the fire, the brimstone, everything was tearing up the land. Lot's wife looked back and became a pillar of salt. So is it worth looking back? So during the course of your weeks, your lives, your days, don't look back and wonder, should I go back to this, should I do this, or what's going on back there? Because you may know that there's something bad going on, but there's no point in looking back. Move forward. when destruction and judgment is decreed over something, you move forward. There's nothing for me in the streets. There's nothing for me in where I used to work. There's nothing for me in who I used to be with. Nothing for me in who I used to be. I'm moving forward and pressing forward, for God is doing a new thing in my life. He's doing a new thing in your life. Press forward. Press forward. And the last thing I want to share in the message is that Lot served these angels. When these angels came to town, now he didn't know they were angels. He knew that they were servants of the Lord, though, because there was a light about them. So he goes to them. He brings them to his house. He feeds them. He loves them. And then when the townspeople, the majority of the townspeople, they came by wanting to be intimate with these men that he brought in his house, he stood up as a protector, saying, no, 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 they're under my roof. No, take my daughters instead, but you cannot harm them. Do not do this evil act to them, right? So with that being said, I want you also in the course of this week, Hebrews 13:1 says, well, Hebrews 13:2, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. So everybody that you encounter in your days, treat them with love. Treat them as Christ would treat you. Love them. Protect them. Feed them. Honor them. Don't worship them, no. But you love them as God has loved you. And by doing it, you never know, because in Lot's situation, by Lot loving them, these same two men just so happened to be angels who saved him and his family, who brought them out of the fire. So I'm a firm believer of helping people, because these same people have helped me. People that I have served, you know, I've worked different video shoots for different people. I've done different things. They've turned around and done phenomenal videos, phenomenal pictures, phenomenal work, connections, doors open, all kind of stuff. Man, you cannot go wrong by serving people in Jesus' name. So like I said, we're not looking back at the past. We're moving forward, and we're open to helping and loving people, for there are so many doors that open within our serving. And that's a blessing.
That's pretty much it. I mean, there's nothing that I can say after that. But we definitely would like to thank Deacon Brown. Let me be specific.
Yes,
Deacon Brown for joining us today. We definitely appreciate that, and big ups to our missing link today, the First Lady of Covenant Cafe, Charlie Baltimore. And also, like I said, you know, take this word and run with it, and step up your game each day. This is Lent season, so we're not sure what you're giving up. So make sure you give up something for this Lent season, and maybe that'll lead to bigger and better things, because, you know, Lent is for 40 days. And if you're giving up a major, major habit for 40 days, hopefully that major habit will, you know, disappear. I know it's not going to be easy, but make sure you're able to, that's something you're able to handle. So we'd like to say thank you for tuning in to the Covenant Cafe. We'll be back next week. Deacon, as well as myself, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace,
and Charlie Baltimore. You guys have a good night, and we'll be talking to you.